Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio listeners, it is I, Evangelist Vaughn Dillon, and we are gathered together again just to say praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for another day. And we're going to just start with our scripture tonight, and our scripture is going to be coming out of the book of Psalms. So we're going to be in the New Testament, so we're going to Psalms. And we're going to go to the 23rd chapter. And I know that this is a familiar scripture to a lot of you, but it may not be something that you just rely on. It may not be something that, it may be something that you can quote, but it may not be something that you actually live by or stand by. And that's what we're just going to try to remember as we go over tonight. We don't want to just use words just to be using words, as we spoke on last evening. Every word of our mouth, we want to make sure that words, as they come from our heart, that it bridges over our tongue and out into the world, that it affects something, it does something, it is helping in some way. Because you see, at the bottom of your life, when you finished everything and it's over and your name has been called and the book of life for you has been shut, and it's time for you now to stand up for everything that you've done on while you've had life in this body, in this shell right here, then you see, it's not going to be so much about how much time that you was here. It's not the duration of your life that's going to have the biggest effect over you. So it doesn't matter how old you are, how long you stayed here. It's not the duration of your life, but it is the deliverance. It's what you was able to donate. It was what you was able to put out here. So your donation to this life, into this world, is more important than how long you were here, the duration. You ever met an old fool? Just a fool. Old as can be and still just don't have things right. Old as can be and still is just troublemaking. Old as can be and still just refuse to walk right. Try to help someone along the way. Just still stingy. Just still honoring. Just still out and trying to party in the club. Still the first one is trying to give the younger folks something to drink or smoke or whatever it is. Just an old fool. I know there's probably some people listening right now. It doesn't mean that you have to always continue to walk in those footsteps. Again, let's start with our scripture. Psalms 23. It reads that the Lord is our shepherd. And in any of these parts, make sure that you put your name in it. Okay? So as I read with my name, you read and put your name in it. The Lord is the shepherd of Vaughn. The Lord is Vaughn's shepherd. So I shall not be in want. Vaughn does not have to be in want. That same shepherd maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That shepherd leadeth me beside quiet waters. When all stuff is breaking loose in my life, that same shepherd would lead you beside quiet waters. Right now, you need some quietness in your life, right? You're tired of all of the waves bumping up against your life, and everything that you seem to touch, it just seems to crumble before you. You need some quiet time. I know a shepherd that would lead you beside some quiet waters. And then he will guide me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake. Because there's so many things out here in the world that gets our attention. Flashing lights, flashy big cars and big homes and just all of the casinos and the gambling and all of the different Powerballs. And it's just so much out here. Clothing and, it's the bars and they're bigger and better now. And we even got churches now that are just, you know, from the 2 members to 20,000 members, you know, that are just flashing at us. And a lot of them are not about the word. It's not about righteousness. Hallelujah. we get caught up in all of our sports arenas and the different teams, and we will pay more money for them to go see them participate in whatever sport it is than we will to tithe to uplift the church, because we said we're not for sure what they're going to do with our money in the church, right? But you're not for sure what's going on when you do it otherwise. You're not for sure what's going really in your tank when you go to the gas pump, but you trust in it that it's going to get your car where it needs to go, but you can't trust in God that he's going to deliver and take care of you regardless of what happens to the money that you give. Remember now, you weren't born with money in your pocket. Every penny that you have, everything that you have, every thought that you have to you. And if he gives, he's the giver. And what all he gives, he wants you to give it on. It's just like when you was a child and you would sing songs and it would be in rounds. And you may start out, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. And then the next person would join in. By the time you hit merrily, 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 that one starting, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. And the object of that was to make sure that the song was a continuous thing, that it never stopped, that it just kept on going. Right? You may remember the other one. This is the song that never ends, for it goes on and on, my friends. Some people started singing it, you know, and it just goes over and over, and it just never ends. Well, that's exactly the way our giving should be. Our giving should be taken from the leadership. Our Father giveth to us life. We need to continue to give life. Help everyone here that's living. We need to pray away from abortions and things that would take life. We need to pray away from selling drugs to each other that would take life, from being domestically violent towards each other that would take life, for just taking someone's life for nothing. For the Lord giveth, only he has the right to take away. So again, everything that he giveth, remember, we're going in rounds, and it just continues to go around and around as we give more. You can't beat God's giving. So get up off of what the preacher drives. You know what? If you're not mad about what your sports personnel is driving, God's people are not supposed to be at the bottom either. Everybody's not going to be flashy at the top. There's no promise that we were all going to be wealthy and rich and so what's the big deal of that? Then God, that you want to take care of the kingdom. So it should just be around and around. The more you give, the more he's going to give to you. And the more you give, the more you can keep your eyes off of worrying about your silver and gold. The Bible says, why store up all of these things when a thief can break in and it can be gone? But you're going to need some for eternal life. So you're going to need a shepherd to guide you. We are his sheep. And a sheep has to be led by the shepherd. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, some of the things that we try to get ourselves into on our own, and that just seems like there is it. There's no way that we're going to pull out of it. And see, it doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 200 years or if you've been a Christian for 2 days. Struggle is something that's life. That's a part of life. It doesn't matter if you believe in Buddha, if you believe in Muhammad, if you believe that there is nothing out there in existence. Struggle is a part of your life. There is no such thing that you can get so much money that you struggle not. There's no such thing that you can get so much wisdom that you struggle not. There's no such thing that you can be loved so much that you're never going to hurt. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So we need to be led into the pathway of righteousness. And even though that we walk through the valley of the shadows of death, Because we know that we've been led by our shepherd, and we know that his leading will take us in the right direction, then we can fear no evil, because we know that our shepherd is there right there with us. We know that his rod and we know that his staff, we know that they'll comfort me. Hallelujah. So Moses and Aaron was going on their journey. That rod, that staff, did so many things, whatever they needed it to be. Moses threw it down one time and it became a serpent. It was to prove a point. Whatever it did, he touched the water and it turns to blood. He struck the rock and water came out. It's whatever you need it to be. So there's a reason that you can find comfort in these things. Those are examples for you to know that there's comfort. So as you go through your valley of shadow of death, you know that you've been led down the pathway of righteousness. Just keep on walking. So don't give up. Fight the good fight. You prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And you anoint my head with oil and my cup starts to overflow. So when all of those around you seems to be going against you, you don't have to run and you don't have to hide. You don't have to bend down and you don't have to bow down. You know, don't let pride get stuck up in the middle of it, though. But hold your head up. Keep on walking down your path of righteousness. And remember, do that self-examination of yourself, because it may be something in you that you do need to apologize for, that you do need to repent for. So when those that are coming against you and all the things, maybe on your jobs, in your home, whatever it may be, and I know people personally understand this one, it may be something sickness in your body that's fighting against you. My niece, Candace, hold on. Fight on. Fight hard. Hallelujah. Keep fighting. I know it may be a struggle, but remember, every step you take, he's taking too. And a lot of the steps that you're taking, that's not your footprints, baby. That's him carrying you until you can get to the point. You wouldn't allow your infant to just try to make it walk. You carry it until it's ready to get to that point. And that's what he does for us. That's what he does for us. So fight on. So in the presence of our enemies, whether that enemy is some disease that is trying to fight inside of you, against you, you don't have to bow down to it. I don't care what the name of it is. That name has to bow down to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So that's important to keep that in mind. Because knowing that he's going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So those who said that you're not going to make it will see what God has done. Those who have given up on you and said you'll never be nothing will be able to see the works of the Lord in your life. He will anoint your head with oil, his anointing. And when he anoints you with oil, it says my cup overflows. That means that all that is in your corner, all that is in your circle, all that is in that continuous circle that we spoke about earlier, hallelujah, all will be blessed. If I take a cup right here and I start to fill it with whatever liquid that I want, if I continue to pour, that cup will just run over, overflow. So everything that's around that cup gets saturated. Hallelujah. So the head of the household, wherever you at, sir, and you're fighting and you're really trying to lead your family in the pathway of righteousness through the Father that you're serving, keep right on, because as you get filled, as you get anointed, as he anoints your head, it overflows, and all your household will be touched. So don't give up on that wayward child right now just because they seem to be rebellious. Don't give up on that marriage right now, ma'am, just because your husband may seem to be doing some things, God is telling him something that you don't understand. Don't you give up. And my husband's out there. Let me just remind you, don't give up on that wife because you may feel like she's not submitting to you. Because if you love your wife the way that God loves the church, that means you have to be in a close relationship with God. That means that he has to be your shepherd that is leading you in the pathway of righteousness. You wouldn't have to yell at your wife. You wouldn't have to demand that she submit to you. See, we have a submitting spirit. We want to submit to anything that is loving us and doing us, leading us in the pathway of righteousness. So if God has got your hand and pulling you and leading you, stretch out your hand to your wife. That same love flows on. Continuation, we're still talking about in a circle, is around, non-breaking. It still reaches out to you and to her, to the kids. It's an overflow. You don't have to demand that she submit to you. Submission doesn't mean bowing down. But anything that loves you the way that God loves us, you want to submit to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. So it says, surely, surely, surely. Surely goodness and surely love, which is God's mercy, follow me all the days of my life. You know, he could have just said goodness and love, goodness and mercy will follow you. But he says, surely. So that's just, he knew that we needed to have that just dwelled and just pushed off in us. Surely, it's not maybe. It's not, it could happen. But he said, surely. So wherever you're at, speak it out right now, surely. Someone around you may say, what are they saying surely for? But in your spirit, talk to Christ, talk to God, spirit to spirit. Let the world just fade away. Surely, where I'm at today don't always mean that's where I'm going to be. You may be laying in a crack house right now, but surely, you may be laying on your house full of bed right now, just got the word that, you know what, it's almost over. You'll be leaving any day, but surely, you may be right now, don't know where you're going. You're outdoors. Finances may have ran out. You may have had a fire. You may have had all kind of different damages, but surely, 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 goodness and mercy, which is God's love, it's going to follow you all the days of your life. And now I can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because after all the days of this life, it's not over for me. It's not over for you. You got to dwell somewhere. And I have chosen that I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Forever. Eternity. Amen? Because the earth is the Lord's. And everything in this earth is the Lord's. Hallelujah. The world and all who live in it, it's the Lord. Hi, the sea, the birds, the trees, it's the Lord. The earth is the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you for another day's journey. As we gather here, we just thank you for your word. Dear Father, may I decrease and may you increase in our lives. Speak your word, dear Father, so that every individual can just hear from you in the way that they need to hear from you. Hallelujah. Just penetrate their minds. Penetrate their spirits. And whatever it is that they need, answer them, Jesus, through your word. And we thank you, Jesus. And we will be humbly grateful as we allow you, our shepherd, as we invite you, our shepherd, as we follow you, our shepherd, unto the pathway of your righteousness, not just for now, but forever and evermore. Amen. Hang on in there. Fight harder. Every day, fight harder. Families that are all going through a lot of grievement. My sister Dee and her husband James and the loss of his daughter and her two kids, one that's a freshman in college and the daughter is in the sixth grade. It's hard to lose your parents at any age. Let's just keep them in prayer. Let's just hold them up in prayer. And all the other families that are in bereavement right now. God bless you all as we continue to pray for you. All the families that are sick right now, we continue to pray for you. And I just want to pray for my neighbors who had a fire today, for Faith and her son Cameron. God bless you. I have to just remember, we can replace things. We can replace things. But you have each other, and no one else was hurt. And the fire could have been so much worse. But for our lives, he gave us life, and we can't let that become more important than anything else that we acquire here. So we just thank you and we bless you. And, of course, let the ministry know of anything that we can do to help you in your time of need. That's what we're all about. We are to help each other. When you're down, I need to at least come down and let's see what can I do to help you come back up. I shouldn't be standing on my feet. You. I shouldn't be standing on my feet walking around you telling everybody else, look, they're down. This is what has happened. To see, that doesn't help the person who's down. We need to get down with them. When you have babies and they're down on the ground, it doesn't help them if you're always walking around. You got to get down there with them. You got to do eye-to-eye contact. You got to be on their level. And when our sisters and brothers is going through whatever it may be, it may not even be anything that you can that we can put a name on. It just may be that they're depressed. You may not even hear from them the reasons for the depression. You shouldn't have to know all the details. Just if God says go, go. Just be there with them. So just pray with them. Thank you, Jesus. Our need. We all have a need to fight. Some of us just don't feel like it sometimes. Sometimes you can get so down that you don't even feel like praying. But that's where we are together, each other, because we all are just like babies. We need each other. We need our shepherd. We need to feed on God's word in order for it to grow. As you reminisce in your life and you can notice all of your babies, you know, I don't care, you know, if they came out weighing 5 pounds or came out weighing 13 pounds. You know, big babies, God bless you, mothers. But, you know, you didn't have to tell them that they needed to feed. They needed to let you know something's not right. I'm hungry. I need to be fed. We are the same way. Our spirits need to be fed. And so we search many times out here on these broken chains, things that will not connect with us and keep a continuous circle in our life or in the season that is in our life, because we do understand that people come into our life for seasons, get the most that you can from those seasons. Some are longer periods than others. But death may separate our season. It just may be a move that separates our season. It could be a divorce that separates our season. But there are different seasons. But we need to make sure that we are feeding, getting fed. We're just getting fed, and we're getting fed on the right things. Because if not, we're just eating things that is not doing any good for our bodies. It has no nourishment for us at all. So that's why we're, every weekend, we got to try to run back and try to get more of that thing, whether it's lust, pornography, whatever it may be. It is tearing our temples down instead of building us up. But we need to be fed on God's word. And when you're getting fed on God's word, you will grow, just like your babies. When you feed your babies, when you feed them the right things, they will grow. If you feed them junk food and you from the beginning, they don't grow. So we need to make sure, because we do have that need. And I know as so many of us try to do this on our own, and so we don't need anything. But try not eating and see how long you will last. Try not drinking water and see how long you will last. Drink nothing. Just drink nothing. Just strong man, mister, I got it all. I got my PhD, and I don't need anyone else. I'm double or triple doctorate. I got it all. We all need someone. In 1 Peter 2 and 2, the Bible compares a newly saved person to a hungry newborn baby. It reads, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We are newborn babes when first comes Christ. And we have a deep and sincere desire for the milk of the word. And you know, people say, I was just on fire for the word. Your fire should never go out. It should get hotter and hotter till you just can't stand it. The Amplified Bible illustrates this even more clearly and says, it says, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nourished and grow unto completion, unto salvation, that you may be nourished and grow. So you watch your words. Every word, people are feeding. They're looking to be fed. People are watching you. They're watching the words that you say. If you're a leader over someone in any capacity, whether you're a parent, you're a teacher, you are on your job, you're leading someone, whatever it may be, you are responsible. Somebody is trying to follow your examples. Watch out what you're feeding them, because they're needing to grow. They're wanting to grow. If you plant this beautiful tree, you've got to nourish it. You have to give it some type of nourishment in order for it to grow. You see the picture of what it can look like, but it will only look like that as you give it the nourishment that is needed. So the word babe used in this verse is translated from the Greek word infant. And we're very familiar with that. And it's a perfect picture of our need to feed our spiritual hunger with God's word. See, the moment we're born again, our newly, because we said you're a new creature in Christ, correct? According to 2 Corinthians. So our newly created spirits have a basic need to feed regularly in order to grow. Again, that tree, you've got to feed it regularly in order to grow. That's the same with our spirits. When we're born again, and some people think, well, you know what, I've been with the Lord, and I know this, and I know God, So we let pride get in the way, and we feel like, well, you know, I'm 30 years old, or I'm 80 years old, and I don't need you to tell me about God. It's never a point that we just learn so much. See, that's why we read the Bible over and over again from front cover to back cover, because every time you read it, he'll give you something new. Every time you read a verse, he'll give you something new. You know, just like the angels talked about in the Tanakh in the Old Testament, you know how they was just surrounding, praising, and worshiping God. And every time they go around the Holy Spirit, it was something new. It was just like a freshness, like a brand new, like the first time that they ever experienced this touch. So don't be afraid. I say that to say this. Don't be afraid to start over. And just start over as a babe. Start over as a babe, regardless of what you heard or how many times you were drugged to church or how many times you willingly go to church. Be willing to start over as a babe. Get what you need to grow. Your spirit needs to grow, and it's crying out for this growth. It's hungry for God's word. It needs to be nourished on a regular basis in order for you to grow into a mature Christian. And just like a newborn baby cries out for regular feeding, that's what our spirit does. Our spirit should crave to know more about God through his word, because this is a normal process in our lives as Christians. It should be craving to know more about God. And if you've ever spent a lot of time around an infant, you'll learn real quickly. You'll learn how to recognize their hungry cry. You know that it will not do any good to change that baby's diaper right now. You know that's not that what that cry is. That's not the problem. But a hungry baby doesn't need to be rocked to sleep, or it doesn't need to be bounced in your arms or on your knee. But when that baby is hungry, there's only one solution. And that solution is to, our Heavenly Father has provided us with a wonderful nourishment. And it's from his word. He knows exactly what our spirits are crying out for and has already responded to our need to be fed. And sometimes you'll say, you know, you're crying out and you're crying out, and somebody say, can I pray with you? And you're immediately just blocked and just shut down and say, that's not what I need. What I need, you know what, you don't understand what I need. But I do. See, the Holy Spirit inside of you is connecting with the Holy Spirit inside of me, and it's together, that continuous circle, with our Father, our Heavenly Father, and he's saying, I know what my baby's cry is. I know what that cry is that they're crying. They're needing to be fed. They're needing to be fed the word. But you say, no, 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 that's not it. You're off balance. You know, this is not the time for that. I don't need prayer. I don't need to go to church right now. No, I don't need your preacher to come and talk. No, evangelist, thank you, but that's okay. You know, I'm going to go hang out with my boo. I get this all worked out. I'm going to go hang out at the bar. I'm going to go hang out with the fellas. I get it all worked out. I'm going to go stop by the liquor store. We'll work this out. And then you find yourself in the same predicament because you truly were not fed. You know, if you're thirsty for water, you can drink so much sweet ices or slushies or sodas or what punch or whatever it is, but if nothing's going to replace that thirst that you need for that water. And that's the same thing it is for the Word of God. The Word of God, he knows exactly what your spirit is crying out for. The word should be the first thing that you think about in the morning. It should be the last thing you think about before you go to sleep. Once you begin to feed on God's word, it won't be long before you discover that God does not expect you to grow up on your own. In addition to his word and the Holy Spirit to nurture you in the growth process, God is also given gifts that are essential to his plan. So I close tonight reminding you, I know you're hungry. I know you're hungry. And just like you feed your natural body, your physical body, don't forget to feed your spiritual body, your spiritual mind. Feed on God's word and grow. The word should be the first thing that you think about in the morning and the last thing that you think about before you go to sleep. Hallelujah. So I give you Psalms 23. To get you started in the morning, the first thing you think about in the morning, and the last thing before you go to sleep. So you say, evangelist, what am I going to think of? Think on Psalms 23. Let's start on that. Let it be the last thing that you think on tonight after you talk to your God. Don't know what to say? Just open up and start talking. And let it be the first thing that you talk on tomorrow. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to come and just let me introduce you to one of the best friends that you will ever meet. All you need to do is just repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. And I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Congratulations. It is important that you let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New Testament says that old things are now passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So, friend, you have a brand new life with Jesus right now to look forward to starting right now. This is your host, Minister Von Dillmans, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, with the Tri-Anointed Ministries. And remember, you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. We love you, and we'll see you here tomorrow night. Until then, remember, God's word should be the first thing that's on your mind in the morning and the last thing on your mind at night. We'll talk to you later. I love you, but God loves you more. Bye-bye.